This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Thanks. DCR.
I got all my birdies out there. I get hit up on Twitter that you and Ty are taking shots at me on your Saturday show.
Well, I think that did in fact happen.
I love that anytime someone else gets shine, you have to immediately compare yourself to them.
Well, I think that's what life is about.
Dave was taking shots at you. He was trying to Wally Pip you and replace you with Colin.
I love Campbell.
You absolutely said you could take over one of the spots.
I agree, but I did not say Rick's spot.
So it's my spot.
Wow. It's a spot. And I even went as far as saying, how about if we took a fourth person on the show?
Dave, the more you keep talking, the more it feels like you're falling in that quicksand that Kwame Brown was talking about.
This is DCR.
Boy, you need to stop, boy. I done told you. You done stepped in that quicksand, boy.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN, and we're, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Jets tickets coming up later this hour. As if you're not locked in anyway, now you get a chance. I mean, really what you do is you have a chance to get full Jet season tickets, right? You win the opening day tickets today against the Patriots, and then on Friday in the K show in the 5 o'clock hour, they'll announce the grand prize winner of full season tickets to your New York Jets, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, that's how does it get much better than that?
I don't think it does. Show,
you listen to us, you listen to K, and then you win stuff. What's better than that?
Nothing.
By the way, too, the whole quicksand situation, where would you rank that? I can't imagine that would be a good way to go, quicksand.
No, is that actually considered buried alive?
Yes.
Yeah. See, buried alive has to be one of the most terrifying ways to
That's
go.
Actually the ground burying you, which I may be worse.
I'm trying, yeah. Is it quicksand worse or is drowning worse? I'm just trying to figure out which one would be the worst. Quicksand
I think
would be
drowning
worse?
Would be quicker.
I don't know.
It's not that quick.
I mean, I don't have much experience with quicksand, but it don't seem that quick. Like, when I see it in movies, it doesn't seem like it goes that quick.
You know it's going to happen. Like, it's slowly dragging you down.
You stepped in that quicksand, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, but can't imagine that's a great way to go, Dave. Can't imagine.
Speeds it up.
Yeah. But being buried alive, where, like, you're in a grave and you wake up and you're alive, that to me, and then
terrifying.
Just knowing that you're going to die, that to me would be terrifying.
You want a bell in your coffin, Dave? Want one of those?
Yeah, because how many times when he does these did it happen in Florida? It's like a man was dead, they were putting him in the coffin, and then he just popped awake. Like, God forbid that happened.
We did have a D-Hip story when that happened.
They were embalming him. They were getting ready to embalm him, and he popped up.
Uh-oh. Could you imagine that?
No. Could you imagine if that was your job? And you're like, you got the whatever you're doing? Like, you're listening to, you have to listen to something, right? You can't do that in quiet.
And somebody pops back to life like The Undertaker.
Maybe getting the saw ready. Yeah. And all of a sudden you look over and the guy pops right up.
You have to open the door and run.
Oh, you're out. Gone.
You have to
again.
Run like Gump. Just run to the other coast.
Not only that, you're changing your career. Like, you're changing your name. It's just a new leaf completely for you. There's no way. Can't go back.
Life choices. Everything has to change at that point.
Yes.
I am not going back in that.
No. No, because you would have no confidence. If you're about to embalm someone and they wake up, now you don't know. God forbid. Now you start thinking, God forbid someone was alive that I buried in the past.
How
do you live with yourself?
Have I actually killed somebody?
Right.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no,
you don't know who's coming or going, Dave, at that point.
But these stories happen, I'm not going to say often, but we hear about them, once, like multiple times a year where they thought the guy was dead. They put him in the morgue and all of a sudden he just pops up and he's awake.
Dude, we did a story where the guy was actually in the coffin and popped out. it makes you question where, like, the kind of medical treatment this guy was getting, but still.
Have to give you a death certificate before you go to the mortuary?
Like, you would imagine, yeah.
Like, doesn't that have to be issued? Like, who's doing that?
How do they pronounce you dead, though?
I don't know. An oversight? I don't know.
An oversight?
That's a hell of an oversight.
He's not breathing. Okay, he's dead. He's dead.
Man.
I want to see the body. Like, no matter who it is, I will see the body. I want to make sure it's the right person.
Don's
I want to make sure
dead
they're dead.
Because he was changing a tire and his heart exploded.
So you want to examine the body yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I'm
not taking anybody's
too.
Word for it. Yeah, yeah, like, sure. It Uncle happens. Stewart, he's in that coffin. How do I know?
Exactly. And that happens every movie. Every movie has something like that, too, where they go, God, he's dead. Don't worry about it. Yeah, until he's not dead anymore.
That's right. Either A, it's not the person you thought it was supposed to be, or B, he's not dead. He pops up and he wants to go get a grilled cheese sandwich. No. No way.
I'm hungry. You got anything in here to eat?
Starving. I've been boxed up all day.
It's like that SNL skit when Will Ferrell comes out when he's being born. He pops out, he's a grown man. He's like, oh, it's hot. It was hot in there.
All right, so that might be more entertaining than what we saw in the play-in tournament last night. Guys, I got to be honest, and I like the idea of it. That was terrible last night. Those two games were just – they were just horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, the Pacers blew the doors off the Hornets. Nobody expected that game was going to be that one-sided. But, I mean, this is what you get, man, when you start talking about the teams at the bottom. There's a lot of variance in terms of what they can be, and last night was a good night for Indiana. I mean, Dougie McBuckets got it going early in the first quarter, and they didn't look back. I mean, Sabonis comes, what, one assist away from a triple-double? So, I mean, it was a great performance by them. My boy from VA, Malcolm Brogdon, did his thing and sent the Hornets packing. And so now we're talking about the matchup, the next play-in matchup game being on Thursday between the Pacers and the Wizards, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it feels like this play-in tournament. I would say we got fortunate this year just because, I mean, especially, you know, with the Celtics being in it, you got the big name. I mean, you got Russell Westbrook. You know, Brad Beal wasn't
himself. You got the Lakers, too, right?
But that was what I was going to say. Yeah. Not just the Lakers. You got Steph Curry in the Golden State Warriors, which is huge. I mean, that's the game that we're all looking forward to see, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The perfect 10 o'clock tip-off tonight.
But,
yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, as we move forward with this play-in tournament, you're most likely not going to see great NBA teams playing.
No, but I don't need great NBA teams to play. I'd like competitive games, though. I don't think.
No, I understand what you're saying, but this is more for these games are more for the fan bases of those teams, right? Like giving them hope that there's still a chance that they can make the playoffs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it also eliminates a lot of these teams from going into tank mode, you know, a month or two before the regular season even ends. I think that was the biggest thing that the NBA was trying to eliminate. And from that perspective, you got to call the play-in tournament a success. Because, I mean, you did have a lot of teams that were scrambling, trying to fight to get into the play-in tournament.
Yeah, and other than, what, like maybe six-ish teams, every team had a real chance in the final couple weeks of the season to get into the play-in tournament. So I think it did its job. I like it. I just the games in night one were not good. But I like the whole premise of it.
No, I don't disagree with you. I mean, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make it so teams aren't incentivized to actually actively tank. And you want to keep as many fan bases engaged as possible. You want every fan base to feel like, for the most part, they still have a chance.
We have a chance. Exactly. That's what you want. Let's go to Spike in St. Petersburg. I don't think he enjoyed the games last night. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning, my friends. Always appreciate the talking to you guys and starting my day with you. First of all, a very disappointing day. Oh, but by the way, this is for you, Canty. Malcolm Brogdon, go UVA.
Yeah, he bowed out last night.
He comes back after missing 10 games, and as a Mississippi, always liked that guy. He was a 40, 50, 90 guy 1 year, plays great D. He's a long guard. I don't know if he reminds me of Ron Harper, someone real long. He's like 6'6". Just a beautiful player, plays the game beautifully. What a stinker. And to boot, had a rotten day with some stuff yesterday, personal stuff. No, I did. It's just one of them things. I made a bad choice, but I'm fine. And I got to watch the Celtics win? Come on. If you're a Knicks fan, you're born hating the Celtics. You agree, Dave?
Yeah, of course, but I don't think you have to worry too much. I mean, Celtics will not be around for very long. Thanks for the call, Spike. Right? They're going to get guys, we agree they're going to get hammered by Brooklyn here?
I would pick Brooklyn, obviously. Yeah, I mean, the Celtics haven't been right. I mean, you saw what Jason Tatum's capable of doing. And I don't know if that's going to be enough, obviously, but I'm more upset that we're not going to see Russell Westbrook against KD and Harden. I wanted to see that.
Well, you may not see him at all.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up losing to Indy, but that's the series I wanted to see. I would have loved to seen Russell Westbrook go after those guys.
Yeah, just a little bit of spice, see if the Wizards can take their pound of flesh out of Brooklyn, because you know Russ would have been fired up for that one. The whole cupcake thing, how KD left OKC. Like, I would have loved to see that. But, I mean, here's the thing, man. With the Brooklyn Nets, like, we know what this is. Whether they played the Wizards or playing the Celtics, this is going to be a sweep or, at best, a gentleman's sweep. This is going to be over in max 5 games. That's how good Brooklyn is.
There's no way we see a game six. I could not agree with you more. Now, Brad,
can you imagine, Dave? Could you imagine if everyone on Brooklyn actually loved and cared about playing basketball, how good they could be?
Wow.
Wow. Not really. Not really my focus right now.
Yeah. He's got other things.
He played his ass off this year, though.
No, he did. He's been great.
Can't take that from him.
No, he's been a 50-40-90 guy. But
when he shows up, he shows up. But
but here's the thing, though. But when you're doing media stuff like that, how many minutes is it, honestly? It's what, max 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? It's part of your job.
But this is what he is.
No, I know it's what he is.
But he does.
But Dave, he's also one of the leaders of that team. Do you really, at this time of year, do you really want to hear one of your best players saying, basketball really is not my focus right now?
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. Let's hear from Brad Stevens. Looking ahead to the matchup against the talented Brooklyn Nets.
We've been through a lot. And so we're hardened in a lot of ways. We've been backs against the wall most of the year. And to have to play tonight, to get into the playoffs, just to earn the right to play probably the most talented team that's been assembled since I've been in the NBA. It takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of togetherness, and it takes staying together through tougher times. We'll get ready for Brooklyn starting on Thursday when we get back together. And those guys are the best of the best. Going into that, if I'm a general fan of the NBA, I have a hard time seeing them lose. So we're going to have to play great. We're going to have to play great together. You know, we're going to have to be really, really sound on both ends of the floor.
Could he give more credit and how great the Nets, in fact, are than he does in that soundbite?
And what else are you going to say, though?
I know, but my God. I mean, you know, he makes it sound like his team has no chance to win the series.
Well, because they don't, Dave.
I know, but you wouldn't think the other coach would say that. He basically is saying we cannot win the series.
Now, Belichick does that all the time, though. Belichick does the same exact thing.
Yeah, he does. But the difference is Belichick ends up pulling off the upset.
Wins, yeah.
Yeah, this Brad Stevens is not going to pull
there
it off against
no
the Nets.
There is no way the Celtics
They might as well
series.
Break this thing down on Cancun. Like, this is going to be a wrap.
There is no way the Celtics are winning that series.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Coaches voted on Coach of the Year in the NBA, and the winner, and I don't have a huge problem with this. I don't necessarily agree, but I don't have a huge problem with this. The winner is from the Phoenix Suns, Monty Williams. They win 51 games. They have a tremendous season. For me, I think that Tom Thibodeau has done the best job with what he was given this year. But again, I don't have a major problem with Monty Williams winning the award.
I don't think I disagree with you. I mean, I would, you know, personally, what Tibbs has been able to do with this New York Knicks team, I probably feel the same way you feel, but I mean, we said this at the time. This is how these awards are voted on. I mean, Phoenix, I mean, they got it started in the bubble. They had Chris Paul, and now all of a sudden, they're the second seed in the West. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised at all. And I don't even think they did a bad job. I just think that if it were me, and maybe because I'm so New York-centric, but I'm not sure about that. Like, Tom Thibodeau has taken the laughing stock of the NBA and turn them into a legitimate four seed in the Eastern Conference, you know, with a very similar team that he had last year. Monty Williams has done great, but he added one of the great players in the NBA to this roster.
Well, I think the thing about this is that this award that Monty Williams was given yesterday was voted on by the coaches around
Correct.
The NBA. So this
Right.
is how his peers view him. And I think it's saying a lot what Monty Williams did, making that team have the jump from 10th in the Western Conference last year to 2nd in the Western Conference this year, knowing that the West is the tougher of the two conferences. I think that has a lot to do with how they weighted the voting on this. And then, you know, just looking at, you know, what this Suns team has been for the better part of the last decade. I mean, this team hadn't been in the playoffs since 2010, which is a longer playoff drought than the Knicks had. So, I mean, I just, you know, the turnaround that we've seen from the Suns the last couple of years, I think is what push Monty Williams ahead of Tibbs as far as the coaches were concerned. Because, Dave, I hear what you're saying. Like, as far as this year goes, if you want to just put this in a bubble and you want to confine it to this year, then, yeah, I think there's certainly a case to be made for the job that Tibbs has done and him getting Coach of the Year. But I think the coaches around the NBA are looking at the turnaround the Suns have had the last couple of years and saying, man, this went from a team that was 19-63 to a team that's 51-21. And I think that's why Monty Williams got the nod.
I will say I think Tibbs has done more with less than Monty Williams has.
Yeah, but there's probably a little more parity in the Eastern Conference than there is in the West. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I think there definitely is. But is it even a debate that he's done more with less?
He has
way less than Monty Williams has in the Western Conference.
No, he has way less in terms of talent, but he also has way less competition. I mean, the East outside of those top three teams, I mean, you could kind of jumble all of those other squads up and just throw them in there. I mean, with the West, I mean, you know, you're talking about being seven or eight teams deep. So it's different.
Listen, I don't mean to disparage Monty Williams. The job he has done has been phenomenal. And in my mind, I wish I could see how the voting broke down. And I don't, either they don't come out with that or that you never get to see that. I don't know.
I have who got votes.
Yeah, you saw the voting?
I didn't see exactly how many votes each coach had, but there were seven. I mean, seven coach had votes, received votes.
Yeah.
I wonder how many got first place votes, though.
Scott Brooks got votes. Mike Malone got votes. McMillan, Doc Rivers, Quinn Snyder, and Thibs.
No.
Got votes.
Well, only three guys in my mind could have gotten first place votes, though. And that's Monty Williams, Quinn Snyder, and Tom Thibodeau.
I would agree with that. But I always felt like it was going to be a two-coach race between Thibs and Monty Williams. And I said all along I thought Monty Williams would win Coach of the Year. I did. I mean, just what he's done with that squad. Like, the Phoenix Suns were a laughingstock in the Western Conference. And being able to have this type of turnaround, not that we didn't see it coming in the bubble last year, but being able to have this kind of turnaround, I don't think anybody quite expected that.
Nobody
but, I mean, you could say the same thing about the Knicks. But the one thing I will say is, like, the Suns, against really good teams, were really, really good. Coming into the month of May, they had the best record against teams that were over 500 in the NBA. And since January 28th, they've had the best record overall in the NBA. They're 43-13.
See, the thing for me is I don't even understand how the Knicks have done this. Like, I look at Phoenix, and it's like, okay, you added Chris Paul. He does this everywhere he goes. You have Ayton has turned himself into a tremendous player, and Booker is a superstar in this league. The Knicks have a changed Julius Randle and a little bit of, you know, talent around
RJ Barrett here, a little Derrick Rose there.
I don't understand how they have gotten here. Like, even rationally, when I look at this team won 41 games. This should not be a very good basketball team.
No, it shouldn't. But I mean, that's the beauty of what happened here. I mean, everyone bought into what Thibs was selling, which is, you know, you play hard every night, you play great defense, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to win a lot of basketball games. And if you do, you know, the things that I'm telling you to do, you know, Julius Randle being a prime example of that, then you're going to have. Maybe I don't think anyone expected this kind of year. You can't. You're out of mind if you said. Julius Randle's family didn't expect that this kind of year.
Remember when we were at the All-Star break and the Knicks were doing so well? And, like, we come out with the BPI, and it's like they have a 12% chance of not playing in the play-in tournament. Like, even when they were doing well, everyone thought that it was going to eventually fall off. And they got so hot at the end of the season. It's remarkable what he's done with this organization.
I'm looking at Basketball Reference right now. This is not Vegas with the odds and everything else, but I'm looking at Basketball Reference right now. They had the Knicks win total at 21.5, which was the lowest.
They were projected to have the worst record in the entire NBA heading into this season.
Yeah, they had OKC at 22.5, they had Cleveland at 22.5, and they had the Pistons at 23.5.
Which, I mean, think about this. Pistons stunk, OKC stunk. Who else? Cleveland stunk. Knicks, the only one to beat that. The only team that actually was really good when they thought they were going to stink.
They didn't just beat it.
They doubled it.
But they improved by 20 games from a year ago. I mean, they won 21 games last year, and they won 41 this year. I mean, listen, Tom Thibodeau has done a great job with this team. He has. I don't think you can take that away from him. I think when the coaches looked at it, they felt like because there was more competition in the Western Conference, they think that Monty Williams deserves the nod because his team finished with a higher seed with tougher competition. That could be the only explanation that makes sense.
You can't argue it. You can't be horrified by it. I think you'd just be a little bit bothered, you know, either way. Anthony and Holbrook. Anthony, you're next up on 98.7.
What's going on, boys? How we doing this morning?
We're doing good, Tone. What's up?
No, man, I just wanted to talk about how Thibs got ripped, man. It's unbelievable how sometimes the New York guys, they don't get the credit. If you look at the roster breakdown, obviously Chris Paul, you can make a case, top 5-6 point guard of all time. They got Devin Booker, who's a proven NBA scorer, can, you know, score 30 obviously any given night. And then he's got these veterans that they hit, Jay Crowder and all that stuff. They have the roster in place, and then obviously you look at the other side of it, Thibs is working with these guys that were just a cast-off. Alfred Payton, Julius Randle, they thought, you know, wasn't going to be who he was. They got, you know, all these other guys. Neil Aquino was a bust, you know. It's just crazy how they don't give the credit to Tibbs, but he turned this.
No, he gets credit. No, listen. I wouldn't say that. I think that Tibbs gets credit. I think part of this award for Monty Williams has to do with this isn't just it's what he did in year one with the Suns too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that gets baked into it.
Yeah.
The turnaround that they made, and then all of a sudden now they've taken that next step where they're the second seed in the West. I think there's something to be said about that.
I also think he's very likable, and I'm not saying Tibbs is not, but I think the Monty Williams story is heartbreaking, and he's a very likable guy. But everyone knows Monty Williams.
But Dave, you know how sometimes these awards work too. It's like it's not just like they're not just voting on what happened this year. They're also counting what happened last year's too. It's like he's worked his way to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Now where he's the coach of the year. Like if it's going to be close, we're going to take what he did last year too and add it to our voting.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a part of this as well.
I mean, he takes over a team that won 19 games. They end up winning 34. You saw him in the bubble,
mm-hmm.
and now he goes from the 34 to over 50 wins. 51 wins.
51 wins in the West is, that's some job.
And that's in 72 games. By the way, the Knicks won 41 games in 72 games.
Right. The Suns are probably like a 57, 58 win team if you play the whole season?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, the Suns are a damn good team, Dave. I mean, listen, they're second in the West, and you look at their roster, and you would probably say from a talent standpoint, they wouldn't be a top six roster in the West. So, I mean, I don't know. It was really, really close. And like Rick just said, I think what Monty Williams did the year prior, is weighted into this as well. I mean, it's the fifth time in NBA history that you had a team in back-to-back years have 15-plus win improvements.
Rick, did you hear about the wager that took place when you were out the last couple
of days? No, I didn't. Please fill me in.
All right, so I don't need. Why did Carlin say this? Carlin says stuff that you're like, wait, what? What are you saying?
Oh, it's a troll. It's a troll inside him. You know this.
So I guess you're playing. Was it just yesterday?
What day was it? Was it Monday?
It was yesterday.
We were playing CMT, and I guess RJ asked the question of the Nets. Do you think that they're? No, I think it was Monday. I think it was Kenny. Can the Nets win the Eastern Conference? And can the Nets win the whole thing? And, of course, Chris and I, because we're rational, like, yeah, they can, and they can. And then Carlin comes on. He's like, they can win the Eastern Conference. He said, but they cannot win the NBA championship. Like, wait, what? I said, all right, Carlin, then if you had to pick one team to win the NBA championship, what team would you take? His response? The Utah Jazz.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So I'm like a cheetah who sees fresh meat just out sitting out there. I pounce. I'm like, let's bet. Let's wager. Let's go. and he says, I don't want to give up the meat. He says, okay. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you odds. It cobbles its way to, if he wins, I will buy him two dinners for two at Peter Luger's. If I win, I get one dinner for two at Peter Luger's.
And then you're actually buying four dinners. But you see how much he eats.
Yeah, but that's fine. I wasn't worried about it because I don't think there's any chance the Jazz are going to win. So I had the Nets. He has the Jazz to win the whole thing, the championship. And then people on Twitter start saying, why do you get the naked tape? Get the naked tape. And he says, you know what? For everyone else out there, he will sacrifice the Luger's dinners. He will wager for the naked tape if I would do it. And I said, you know what? Sure. Because there's no way the Jazz are going to win.
So we got the naked tape back on the table.
It's back on the table.
Yes, you see Dave flirting with disaster. You see that,
Dave,
right?
Dave Rosenberg nudity makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it does.
There is no way the Jazz are going to win the championship.
I'm going to have to get a Stifle Tower jersey, Donovan Mitchell. I mean, you name it now.
Oh, you'll do your hair like Quinn Snyder if it means that the Jazz are going to win the whole thing.
The NBA sees the new NBA's Pat Riley right
Dave,
now.
Dave, what does Vegas say about the Jazz's odds to win the chip this year?
I don't know. I'll have to find out.
Don't pretend like you have to look them up.
You don't think I would spout that out if I had it?
I can't believe you don't. Maybe you have changed.
I don't gamble anymore.
It's a guy who was betting on WNBA All-Star games.
It was a lock.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of which, by the way, Liberty 3-0, by the way. If you guys were wondering, 3-0.
Yeah. Sabrina Ionescu, triple-double.
Here we go. NBA championship odds. This is as of May 17th, so it's very, very recent. Nets are plus 230. Lakers plus 500. Clippers plus 550, and then the Jazz at plus 650. So they're the fourth favorite to win the whole thing.
Mm.
I think I'll be eating at Luger's way before you guys are seeing the naked tape, though.
But everyone loses in that situation. You eat at Peter Luger's, I'll take you to Peter Luger's. I mean, whenever you want, I'll take you and share it to Peter Luger's.
Okay.
We need to see the tape.
I don't want to give up the meat.
I gave everyone the opportunity. The tape is out there. Now, all you need is the Jazz to win the whole thing.
No, what I needed was Harden to stay healthy and not pull his hamstring is what
I
needed.
He was never going
to
win that.
What do you mean he was never going to win that?
I can't wait for that. Then the foundation gets 250. Then I'm going to get Luger's. I mean, everyone is winning in this situation.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Tito in the car. Tito, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing this morning?
We're doing great. What's up, Tito?
Hey, what's going on, Rick? Hey, Rick, I used to be a caller at night when I used to be with Han and Humphrey or whatever. Just so you remember when we used to talk about rapping and who was the best rappers and everything. Yep. Just give you a little thing there. So I hope you guys, your family, everybody's doing well. Quick point, because I'm on hold, so you kind of lose your train of thought when you drive it on the LIE with all this crazy traffic. The Tibbs and Monty Williams, I think Monty Williams won it because of the fact that he's in the heart of conference, and they made the jump from, like, almost last to, like, 51 wins to, like, second best or whatever. So I think Tibbs should have won it, but because he did well with less, but, you know, congratulations to him. But now, my point is to you guys on the Knicks, because it seems like there's still some sort of flabbergasted, like, wow, these guys are in this position and they won so many games or whatever. You know, as a former coach, I play ball or whatever as far as baseball. So we all know that it doesn't take talent to, you know, to hustle and to play hard and determination and everything like that. You know, we all know that. But it does take a great coach to unlock talent. Okay, so I think that's what he's done. Okay, because you do need talent to hit a three-point shot, correct, guys?
Of course.
It doesn't take hustle. Exactly. So the Knicks are the third best, Eastern Conference team, the third best three-point shooting team in the league. They're the third best, finished the third best. So they're top three. So he has, you know, they've worked really hard, and he's unlocked their talent. So I think we're underselling their talent a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to go in there and win a championship because I'm a realistic Knicks fan. But I won't be shocked if this team does something like knocks off a top three team or
yeah,
something
Tito,
like that. I don't think they will.
But Tito.
But I don't think they will. Go ahead.
No, but I mean, listen, and I get what you're saying. And you're right. I mean, what they've done with the three-point shooting, and that has a lot to do with talent. But I don't think there is not – I know for a fact there is not one person that watches the NBA – covers the NBA that thought with this roster the Knicks would be where they're at right now.
Rick, their over under was 21.5. They won 41 games. It's got to be one of the biggest misses by Vegas in the history of doing over unders. That doesn't happen like that.
No, not like that. It very rarely do you see. I mean, especially with shooting like that. I mean, how many times have we had conversations like, "Oh yeah, you can." During the course of, you know, a couple years, like, you know, Ben Simmons will work on a shooting. Like, he'll be a better shooter. During the course of the season, I mean, between R.J. Barrett and Julius Randle, what they've done from three.
How about Bullock? I mean, Bullock was a guy like, ugh, he's on our team, okay. Right? I mean,
but that's
Alec
why he
Burks.
Was here, though. Right? Yeah, but those are 3-and-D guys. Those are guys that can shoot threes and play defense. But he's getting the best out of all these guys. He's put them all in roles. And not to mention the fact that, let's be honest, as much as we love Derrick Rose, is Derek on a good playoff team? Is Derek Rose going to start?
No.
As a point guard?
No.
Is he your best option?
Is Derek Rose going to get 30 plus minutes on a really good basketball team right now? No way. No way.
No, but I think what we're seeing right now from this Knicks team and the turnaround that we're seeing from the guys that have been here for a couple of years is got to be, you know, attributed to what Tibbs has done, but I think it's also an indictment on the coaches that have been here for the last couple of years. Like, I mean, David Fizdale, what he did, I mean, just you look at the talent that was on this team. We didn't know what this team had because you didn't have good coaching. But I feel like now the fact that we do have Tibbs here, Like, you're starting to get the best out of what these players can bring to the table.
But, Chris, you had Hall of Fame coaches. You had Larry Brown. You had Lenny Wilkins. Like, it's not like you looked at guys, you're like, well, you know, this guy just hasn't done it. Larry Brown won with the Clippers before anybody could win with the Clippers. And every time one of these great coaches came here, they were horrendous.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. I mean, with the exception of the Mike Woodson era, ain't a whole lot that you can hold your head up about as a Knicks fan over the last 10 to 15 years. But it feels like Tibbs has finally exercised that demon, and he's built the foundation that's going to lead to this team being able to have sustained success into the future. You see the development of the players over the course of this year. The fact that guys, as soon as they land in another city, they find a gym as opposed to finding a nightclub or a restaurant to go eat at. Like, I think that has to be attributed to their head coach changing the mentality. And so that's why I wouldn't be surprised if this Knicks team is able to get out of this first round against the Atlanta Hawks, especially with them having home court advantage, just because this is a different group, man. This is a team that doesn't take anything for granted. They work hard. They make themselves tough to beat. And, you know, that's the kind of basketball, that's the style of play that serves teams well once they get into this time of year in the postseason.
Now, KJZ comes your way, of course, at 8 o'clock, and Adrian Wojnarowski is going to be on the show right after 8 o'clock this morning, breaking down all the NBA. And he was on his podcast, the Woj and Low podcast, and he says, and this is the thing that if you're a Knicks fan, whatever happens moving forward here this postseason is almost gravy. He says now, the Knicks are a destination for a player that's not happy in his current situation.
Yeah, I think they're on the disgruntled star alert. They have draft picks. They've got picks coming still from Dallas. They've got their own. They've got some young players who showed some growth with Tom Thibodeau that might be appealing to people. It depends what level of a star becomes available and who do you want to cash your chips in if they do. But I think they're in the conversation now, or they have the potential to be in the conversation as a option for a player who might want out somewhere. And I can't sit here and tell you now, Zach, who that's going to be, if that's going to be. Sometimes that player emerges off of a bad first round exit, or a coach is let go that player connected with doesn't like the new guy. Whatever it is, there are a lot of things that can trigger it. I don't know that there's an obvious one right now, but history tells us someone will emerge, because it almost always does. And the Knicks are very much on patrol for that.
Just hearing that, it changes the entire dynamic of what this team has been for really the last 20 years.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Dave. You don't have to wait for that star to get here for your team to be competitive, which is a great position for the Knicks to be in, because it doesn't put pressure on Leon Rose to go out there and mortgage the future of the club for a guy that's, you know, that joins a team that's not ready to compete, that's not ready to win. Like, I mean, you know, the Knicks, if they don't make a move for a star player this offseason, if they don't trade all their draft picks, if they don't trade any of their young players, we're still going to expect them in 2021-2022 season to build off of what they did this year. Like, they're still going to be a playoff caliber team. Now, if you're able to lure a superstar player here, an all NBA type of guy that wants out of his current situation, and pair that player with Julius Randle, now all of a sudden you're not just talking about a team that's getting out of the first round of the playoffs. You're talking about a team that could potentially go to the Eastern Conference Finals if they make the right decision. But I just feel like the Knicks are in a really good spot right now where they don't have to rush anything. They can take their time and they can let opportunities come to them. And it's been a long time since you've been able to say that about the Knicks.
Yeah, but even if you don't add a piece, right? Like, say, again, because you're right. You're in a position now where you can afford to be patient because, you know, you're winning. You're the fourth seed in the East, right? You're hosting a playoff series. So you can afford to be patient. You have to imagine, too, going into next season, is that R.J. Barrett now having this experience, he'll be better for it. Emmanuel Quickley is going to be better. Obi, you're going to have to get something more. I mean,
He will be better.
Obi, yep. Toppin will be better. You played most of the season without Mitchell Robinson. He'll be back. So even without bringing in a big-time free agent, like, you're still going to be – you'll be a better team next year.
Absolutely. Because R.J. Barrett, you think going into year three is going to be better? And Toppin, you're right, 100%. And Robinson, and the guys are focused, and they want to play for this guy. And they never take a night off playing for this head coach. So it's a huge difference than what we've seen in the past. All right, time for some Straight Talk, cutting your wireless bill in half. It feels good. It feels home run in the ninth kind of good. Straight Talk offers 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract and no compromise. 800-919-3776. Dave in East Meadow. Dave, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Enjoying the show. So I think the biggest difference between the two coaches, and they're both very well deserving, is Phoenix. This is based on this year. Phoenix made the bubble last year. We didn't. Phoenix has building blocks, number one overall pick in Ayton. They got Bridges. They had an all-star in Booker. But the biggest difference is they imported an all-star, if not all-NBA point guard in the offseason, whereas Thibs had essentially, minus some spare parts, the same roster that he inherited from Fizdale, a team that couldn't shoot the three and was worst in the league at defending the three. And to me, that's the difference between the two candidates that separates them this year and why I think Thibs should have won it.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I think both coaches are deserving, but I think it also says something that the coaches around the NBA voted for Monty Williams over Thibs. Like, they voted for him. So this is his peers. This isn't a media award. This is the coaches saying, this is what we think of the job that Monty Williams has done. So I get what everybody is saying, what Thibs is doing. You know, didn't have the most talented team, and you're just talking about fourth in the Eastern Conference and hosting a playoff series. I get it. I'm on board with it. I think it's remarkable what he's been able to accomplish. But you can't sit here and nitpick what Monty Williams has done with the Suns either.
He's done a great job.
Yeah.
He's done a phenomenal job. It's not like you feel that Thibs was robbed of this. I think that he was a little more deserving than Monty Williams. But I don't have a major issue. And I don't think, Rick, you don't have a major issue.
No, I don't have a
major
issue. No, because this is what I expected. I mean, we've been talking about this for months now with what Thibs has done with his team. Like, I mean, Julius Randle, most improved player. Will he get MVP votes? You know, Thibs should be in the running for Coach of the Year. But, I mean, you know how these awards are voted on. Phoenix is the second seed in the West, which is a tougher conference. Do I think that Thibs should have won it? Yeah, if I had a vote, if I was one of the coaches, with what he's had to deal with in New York and everything else, and then the turnaround that's happened this quickly with essentially the same roster, my vote would have been for Thibs.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, you can't argue Monty Williams.
No.
It.
It's not like somebody that's completely undeserving won the award. No. Ron in Chester. Ron, you're next up on 98.7 PAL.
Good morning, gentlemen. And before I get my point about Thibs, all this talk about pizza made me realize I am concerned about Dave's health this morning. I mean, as a resident NARP, Dave, what are you tipping the scales at these days? You're working out at the panel. I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine. I don't know why you'd have this concern. I think, I've put on a little. I think I'm at like 209 now.
I do periodic dieting.
But I can take
that off. The stress and stuff, though. I mean, stressy. You got the two new puppies pooping on the floor.
I was fat at one point.
The puppies are they're impossible.
It's getting worse. It's supposed to be getting better.
I think it is getting better, but it's just it never stops. It never stops. They attack each other because they're brother sisters. So they think it's playful, but it's vicious.
I don't know what you expected, Dave. I mean, you saw you have two boys. Your two boys didn't go after each other the entire time growing up?
Not like this.
Well, because it's dogs. It's not.
They don't draw blood on each other.
Like, well, obviously not. They're not biting each other. We'd have issues if they started biting each other like that.
Yeah, that'd be odd.
It's an interesting life choice you made at your age.
It is, but you know what? I did it for my kids. You say that I'm all about me and I'm so selfish. I did it because my kids wanted it so badly. I think that's a selfless act.
Yeah, but you got to do what the Packers do, right? You got to have one eye in the present on the present and the other eye on the future. How much longer are the kids going to be in the house?
Yeah, but Alex is 10. So by the time Alex is 18, that's 8 years, the puppies will be 8 plus. I don't think they're going to be attacking each other, right? At that point,
it'll
be great.
But I'm not even saying attacking. But now, I mean, now you're empty nesting. You want to go on trips. There's things you want to do.
It's like doggy daycare, and you can leave them with people.
No, I know, but that's something you didn't even have to worry about.
I know. Listen, I can't argue with the point that you're making, but when I see Alex with the dogs, it warms the heart. He loves it. He's so happy.
And that's really all that matters, isn't it?
I mean, and as a parent, that's what you're trying to do, right? Give happiness to your children.
Yeah, I unfortunately will not be giving that same kind of happiness to my children.
You're not the parent that I am. You're not the parent. If it was pizza, you'd feed them that.
They're going to have any kind of pizza they want. I'll drive anywhere for pizza.
That's right. Anywhere.
That's a one-time deal.
What happens if Cass says to you? Cass says to you later today, like, "Oh boy, I really have a hankering for that pizza in New Haven again." Would you drive right up there?
Yes,
you would. It's 2.5 hours.
I would do it. I get to eat the pizza too. It's not like I'm just getting the pizza and I have to stare at it all the way.
You're just looking for a good excuse, Rico.
Yes. There is no pizza, no pizza on the planet that is worth driving 2.5 hours for.
Yeah, I'm with Dave on that one.
None.
I'm with Dave.
Yeah, but when you're doing it for your wife, I mean, there is a payoff. It's not just pizza that you're getting. There's more that's going into this verbal agreement that I'm just going to go get you
pizza.
So
it's all about the payoff for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I got to look out for Little Rick too. I mean, he's got a say in this. Like, what do you think? Is it worth it? He's like, well, I mean, this is
Let's
what
go.
You're promising.
He points north. Let's go.
I think we have to weigh the options here.
Follow the wind in your sails. Let's go to Matty in Westchester. Matt, you're on 98.7.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. Love the show. Big fan. I got to tell you, as rational of a sports fan as I am, I couldn't find myself help but following this coach's race for as closely as I did for the past decade as a New York Knicks fan. I was really excited, hoping Coach would win, but he didn't. And I got to tell you something, I still feel he was a bit slighted. And I know Monty Williams is deserving, but I mean, I still feel this roster was essentially the same as it was from last year to this year. I think that the Suns were 8-0 coming out of the bubble. Devin Booker, an ascending superstar, or potential star in the league, adding in a Hall of Famer. I mean, Julius Randle wasn't that guy. What they ended up doing this year, all around, I don't know how Tibbs didn't get the award. I got to be honest with you. I think he got slighted. I really, really do, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Matt. I don't feel that strongly about it. I don't. I'm like 55-45 Tibbs over Monty Williams.
I think both guys are deserving. Yep. I mean, I would have, listen, personally, I'll tell you, I would have voted for Tibbs.
Yeah,
but I can't sit here and make a like get all frustrated and make you know start yelling and screaming that Monty Williams won.
Yeah, now we're not gonna have this fake anger about how horrified we are. Monty Williams did a great job with a team that was irrelevant for a very long time. All right, Santi, we're glad we found you. You're back in the saddle here with us on 98.7, and now it's time for you to present the three stars of the day.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Was really tempted to go with Aaron Boone on this one, but no, Dave convinced me that the great and recently deceased Charles Grodin.
You know what? Should get You're his so star. Disrespectful.
Listen, first, what when
you
I
almost
saw his
called
name,
him Charles Gordon.
Well, see, I was just going to say, had I just seen his name spelled out and you didn't tell me how it was pronounced, I probably would have called it Grodin because I've been watching so much hockey this year. But terrible. But listen, you probably should have led that he was on Louis C.K.'s show.
I shouldn't need to lead anything. He's a huge star.
I'm just going to move on. I hope. Listen, I hope condolences to his family, and he was very funny in Beethoven.
Number two.
Tony La Russa for providing us great commentary and just giving us more old man get off our lawn type of, well, you know, usual.
You old stupid man, get lost.
I don't mind swinging at 3-0 when you're up big in a baseball game. No big deal.
Number one.
Number one, welcome back to all you guys. First, as Dave said, 10 days off, 10 days not as a show unit together. You came back, you didn't miss a beat. It was very enjoyable. Welcome back, everybody.
Well, thank you very much. Let's just, of the 10 days that the show was not the full trio, I was here every single one of those days. Okay, let's just, for the record, note that I haven't missed a show yet. We have show 100 coming up on Friday, and I am a perfect...
So you'll be off tomorrow, yes?
Probably right? So. Yeah, I envision that probably is the way that it goes. All right, KJZ coming your way in just a moment. Adrian Wojnarowski on the show breaking down all things NBA. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DPHO, Canty Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left!
Hear more of DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.